Sie hören SBS German.
Heute geht es bei uns um ein Musikgenre, das wir im Programm von SBS German normalerweise nicht spielen, nämlich alpenländische Volksmusik, kurz Alpenmusik und genauer gesagt Polka und Oberkrainer. Laut Statista ist dieses Genre bei den ab 14-Jährigen sehr beliebt. Knapp 6 Millionen Menschen der deutschsprachigen Bevölkerung gaben im Jahr 2023 an, gerne Volks- und Blasmusik zu hören. Und vor allem jetzt, da die Oktoberfestsaison bevorsteht, ist sie auch hier in Down Under sehr gefragt.
Hi folks, my name is Paul Gillette and I'm the singer and guitarist with Alpen Musikanten.
I'm Philip Nedvesnik, I'm the accordionist of Alpen Musikanten.
Phil Nedvesnik und Paul Gillette sind zwei Drittel des Trios Alpenmusikanten. Phil spielt Akkordeon, Paul ist der Sänger der Band und spielt Gitarre. Phil und Paul waren bei mir im Studio mit ihren Instrumenten und einer großen Portion positiver Energie und guter Laune. Von Phil wollte ich zunächst wissen, was das eigentlich ist, alpenländische Volksmusik.
So it's folk music from the alpine regions of Central Europe, covering a lot of German-speaking Europe, so the southern parts of Germany, Bavaria, Austria, parts of Switzerland, and then down into Slovenia and northern Croatia, as well as northern Italy or Südtirol. It's really connected to my ancestry. So my parents are both from Slovenia. They migrated here in the 70s and the 90s, both my mum and dad. And I grew up listening to this music. And once I got into the accordion, I basically just completely fell in love with the music. It's very melodic, happy music with predominantly major and seventh chords. Although the lyrics can be sometimes depressing, there's nothing melodically depressing about it. It's very happy, upbeat music that back in Europe at the moment it's enjoyed by absolutely all generations, with bands and new songs coming out just every day.
Wie der Titel schon sagt, stammt diese Musik aus den Alpen. Schon aus dem 16. Jahrhundert sind Tänze aus dem schweizerischen Appenzellerland überliefert, die als Vorläufer dieses Genres gelten. Die Alpenmusikanten gehen für ihr Repertoire nicht ganz so weit zurück.
I'm using the sort of the umbrella term Alpine folk music because there's a lot of these folk music styles from Bavaria down to Austria and Slovenia and North Italy and Croatia that are more or less basically the same with slightly different instrumentations, in some cases different dialects or different speeds, but they're all within the umbrella of Alpine folk music. So what we specifically play is folk music that's originated more from Slovenia and in the 50s by the Osanik brothers, who sort of created a new style of alpine folk music, which eventually in the 50s and 60s broke into the German-speaking market. And from that point on, the German speakers coined this Slovenian folk music a new name in German called Oberkrainer Musik, which just means it's from the Oberkrain region of Slovenia, which is in Slovenian they would say it's the Gorenska region, which is actually where the Kranjski sausage originates from.
Well, I think you've summarized it really in that scenario, that it's for me, as Phil has taught me everything I know about this genre, but it is a form of, it's predominantly Slovenian music that has become an export for the German-speaking communities around it. And it's something I think that Slovenia should be very, very proud of, in that it's been hugely influential. I think there's Guinness World Records set by some of these bands, like the Osanik Brothers Ensemble is the most recorded song of a folk genre. And you know the stats, Phil?
Yeah, well, one of the Guinness World Records they have is they're the most successful folk music band supposedly in the world by way of, I think, over 30 million records sold and just kilometres travelled and number of concerts they've played from the 50s to the 90s. And even now, every few years, like another Slovenian breaks the world record for the longest period of continuous accordion playing, as in non-stop for I don't even know what it is now.
That's not you, Phil. I would have assumed that would be you. You'd be right up there.
I haven't got the stamina, I know. But
I was just going to ask.
Do you want to contend him?
No, I had hard enough of a time hiking up the stairs to get to the building, let alone being able to, but it's incredible what they're doing, yeah.
One thing Phil's sort of introduced me to also is the international community of people who are playing this music, and Phil's a part of that with his online presence. Can I plug your website,
yeah,
accordionmaniac.com?
Yeah, go ahead.
And Phil has, you know, got followers from all around the world who are fascinated by this style. There's a very large presence in the United States, and I think it's Cleveland, is that right?
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yeah. And in Canada, and, you know, the Slovenian diaspora has really popularized this music around the world, including here in Australia. And so it's very much an international community with its sort of focus on the Alpine region.
Die Alpenmusikanten sind jedoch kein Duo, sondern ein Trio. Phil erklärt, wer der Dritte im Bunde ist.
So, unfortunately, our bassist Peter Grivitz couldn't come today, but he's been performing this Alpine folk music for all of his life. He's a Slovenian Australian, so his parents are from Slovenia. He's born in Australia, and he actually also, like me, grew up exposed to a lot of this music, as well as all of the German-speaking variations of this music. So him and I both grew up watching on repeat old videotapes of Musikantenstadl, which was a big vehicle for Alpine folk music, particularly in the 80s and 90s, and also helped promote a lot of bands over from Slovenia who were trying to break into the German market. But yeah, Peter is our bassist, and he's also won competitions before on the accordion. He actually won in the 90s. He won a Slovenian-Australian competition in Sydney called Polka Down Under, or Polka King Down Under, something like that, where he won a Zlata harmonika, which is the Slovenian for a golden accordion. And yeah, he's an auto electrician and an accordion repairer by trade as well. So I guess all of us still have music, even partially in our careers in one way or another.
Diese Art Musik kennen viele von uns nur vom Oktoberfest. Doch die Alpenmusikanten treten auch zwischen der Oktoberfestsaison auf. Doch wo und wer besucht eigentlich ihre Konzerte?
So we predominantly perform at Austrian and German speaking venues at the moment. So one of the more frequent venues that we really love is the Austrian Club in Heidelberg. There's also a few different, you know, various German restaurants that we perform at, but the audiences are predominantly, you know, older generations of Central European migrants, many of which are German-speaking, but there's also a lot of people from Slovenia and Croatia and Italy who actually frequent the Austrian clubs and German clubs just because they love the culture so much and the food and the music and that sort of things.
I've been introduced to this genre by Phil. I'm a more recent addition to the band, having been playing properly for about 6 months, but I think we started collaborating about 9 months ago. And, yeah, I love the feeling of you know, discovering this local subculture in Melbourne, whether it's at the Austrian Club or any of the German restaurants we play at. And yeah, you just feel like you're transported to another country for a short period of time.
Paul, der Sänger der Band, ist Australier ohne mitteleuropäischen Hintergrund. Dabei singt auf Slowenisch und Deutsch.
So these are songs that were mostly written by Slovenians, but have parallel lyrics. So you'll find there are lyrics originally, I believe, in both Slovenian and in German. Phil, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I sing probably at this stage more in German than in Slovenian, only because I'm probably more familiar with German texts. But I've learned a couple of songs in Slovenian, thanks to Phil's tutelage, and we'll be increasing that.
Paul selbst kann kein Deutsch. Deshalb wollte ich von ihm wissen, wie das eigentlich macht mit den deutschen Texten und ob sie überhaupt versteht.
So it's a question I get quite a lot. I've got a fair bit of experience singing in other languages. I've sung in French for a long while and in Italian also. I've got a background in linguistics. I studied that at university, and I think that helps as well. I think having a musician's ear, just hearing the subtle differences in the way a vowel might be pronounced, is really important to get your accent right. Now, I certainly don't claim to have a fabulous German accent. I encourage you and any listeners to write in and tell me what mistakes I'm making in my lyrics, because I'm very much still learning. But my approach is to listen to multiple recordings of the song by different performers, so you understand how you might have, in fact, dialectal variations in how the song is performed, or even just the natural voice of somebody might be slightly different. I work very closely with Phil. I've got German friends who help me with German pronunciation, and in the way that an opera singer might be singing in Italian, even if it's not in Italian. Of course, you know what you're singing. You have a parallel translation to work with. And I don't have conversational German at all. But yeah, I don't think that prevents you from interpreting the song when you know with the translation what you're singing.
Doch worum geht es eigentlich in den Liedern von Polka und der Alpenmusik? Das wollte ich von Phil wissen.
We've realized there's a few different recurring themes. So one of the themes is nature, the mountains, quite happy, calm stuff. The other, although the melodies are still really joyous, confusingly joyous, you know, there's a lot about, you know, heartbreak and, you know, unrequited love and that sort of thing. And interestingly, in the instrumental part of that, the crowds will still do the joyous Juchitsa shout, which I don't quite understand, but it is beautiful in its own way, even if it's sad.
There's a famous Slovenian waltz that we play called Dolini Tihi, and that is almost anthemic in its role in Slovenian culture and in the Oberkrainer style of music, and it's a lovely, pleasant melody. But when you look at the lyrics, in fact, as Phil's alluding to, it's a story of heartbreak. It's a woman who's been left alone at the window pining for her beloved. But it's not the first song in this genre where that just doesn't come across in the music. It's just way too much fun.
Verwirrend fröhliche Melodien zu düsteren Texten also. Von Phil und Paul wollte ich darum wissen, ob sie ein anderes Musikgenre kennen, in dem es dieses Phänomen auch gibt.
Oh, that's a good question. I think there's nothing quite like polka to really make everything sound incredibly happy. I think it's a unique skill of polka. I'm sure there are other examples, but I don't think anything does it quite to the extent that polka does.
Musik ist ganz klar die Passion von sowohl Phil als auch von Paul. Doch für viele Musiker ist es nicht der Hauptberuf, aus vielerlei Gründen. So auch für Phil. Er versucht jedoch immer mehr, beides miteinander zu verknüpfen.
I've been a software engineer for about 10 years, and I'm slowly departing that to focus more on web design as a freelancer for small businesses and non-profit organizations and musicians. And then the other thing I'm trying to just do more of is actually music by way of educational content online, particularly helping people from English-speaking countries who might not even speak Slovenian or German, but they're trying to actually learn how to play this type of music on the accordion, and they sort of get lost in this world of all these web pages and videos that are only in German or Slovenian. And so, I'm helping them with repertoire and technique and terminology and all that sort of stuff. So I'm also trying to focus more on music as well now.
Paul hingegen ist Vollblutmusiker, ohne seine Zeit und Aufmerksamkeit mit einer anderen Beschäftigung teilen zu müssen.
Music is my primary work, and has been for some years, and I split that between a number of different projects. I do have something of a specialty in non-English language work, so I've got a band called La Mauvaise Reputation that has in fact some years ago come into these very studios and played for Christophe and the French program. I have a band called Bella Ciao that not surprisingly does Italian music. I have these guys that I love playing with. I've also got some a solo repertoire that takes me anywhere from, you know, background music at restaurants to playing for old folks in nursing homes. And I've got my original, I have a pseudonym. My stage name when I'm doing my original songs that I've written myself is Floyd Thursby. And I've just released a new album only a week ago of new material under that name. So between that and playing, you know, for other people in various pickup bands, that keeps me pretty busy.
Doch warum spielt Paul ausgerechnet auch in einer Polka-Band?
Sometimes I get to play a minor chord and I get very, very excited about that. It's a very unusual experience in this genre of music. But I just echo what Phil said. It's very happy music. And I get the giggles after I play this for too long. It's really fun. It's so much fun to play. And it's musically, as a rhythm guitarist, it's quite simple. But you just sit in a groove. And anyone who loves music just knows that feeling of being, you know, in rhythm with other musicians is a fantastic thing.
In fact, it's so happy that back in Europe, they often do this joyous shout, either on the dance floor, the dancers, or the musicians live on stage. It's called, in German, they call it a Juchitsa. So it's, I might not do it, but it's a very loud, happy, joyous shout when you really just can't contain yourself.
Well, feel free to do it if you can't contain yourself.
Maybe later. Maybe when we're playing.
Jetzt muss ich zugeben, dass wir bei SBS German nicht unbedingt die Zielgruppe von Musikantenstadl mit unserer Musikauswahl bedienen. Das liegt daran, dass es, zumindest in Deutschland, ein großes Gefälle zu geben scheint zwischen Menschen, die Volksmusik hören, und denjenigen, die sich der Pop-Rock-Indie-Musik zugeschrieben haben. Darum wollte ich von Phil und Paul wissen, wie sie die letztere Gruppe, also auch mich, davon überzeugen würden, Polka und Oberkrainer zu hören.
I have to come along to a gig and have a lot of beer. And all of a sudden it sounds amazing.
And without the beer, how do you convince them?
Oh, I think that's asking too much. Schnapps, yeah. Phil, you can answer more seriously.
No, you nailed it. I wouldn't ever want to convince anyone to listen to a particular type of music that they don't want to. But at the same time, I think, you know, if you haven't been exposed to a particular type of music and you don't like it, it's probably because you may have been exposed to the stereotypes of sort of older chubby men with huge tubas and that sort of thing, rather than looking at this music as a legitimate, you know, type of happy folk music. The other thing I would say is a lot of people love it, a lot of young people love it, so, you know, and a lot of young people from the cities also love it, but even in Slovenia there's that sort of rift where they call it, you know, some people will call it a goveja juha, which means beef soup. That's the term they've coined for this music. And oh, well, I mean, you wouldn't want there to only be one form of music, you know, in the whole world. You'd want variety, and, you know, not everyone has to like it.
The other thing I've noticed from experience with this band is that when you see this music in its natural habitat, which is, you know, at the Austrian Club, or there's a lot of online, you know, footage of festivals in the mountains, you realize this is dance music. This is absolutely all about dancing. And you cannot think of it any other way. This is music to get you moving. And I think, you know, the same sort of criticism that was leveled against techno music, actually there's an element of similarity in the way that people might disparage this style, because both have a primary job, and that primary job is to get people moving, and I think they both do that extremely well.
Well, beef soup. Let's hear some beef soup.
Let's. We thought we'd play you a song called Mein Mädel aus Krain. This is part of, I think, almost a pan-European genre of celebrating the beauty of local girls. You know, you go anywhere in Europe, there'll be a song saying that the girls from this particular area are the most beautiful. Well, this is one from the Krania region. Take it away, Phil. Schöne Berlin, doch ich kenn noch einen viel schöneren Ort. Dort wartet auf mich stets mein Schatz. Mich liebt nur ganz allein mein Mädel aus Krain. Ich tausch sie für keiner ein, mein Mädel aus Krain. Auch oft allein, mein Mädel aus Krain. Früh ist sie mir ganz allein, mein Mädel aus Krain.
Schöne Frauen von Nord bis nach Süd, und viele sind fesch und alle sind lieb. Doch eine, die gibt es, die raubt mir die Ruhe. An sie denke ich immer zu. Mich liebt nur nur ganz allein, mein Mädel aus Krain. Ich tausch sie für keiner ein, mein Mädel aus Krain. Ist sie nicht ganz allein, mein Mädel aus Krain.
Liken, teilen und kommentieren Sie unsere Inhalte bei facebook.com/sbsgerman.